All right. For this Sidewalk Radio Extra, we're going to be getting on the horn with Mike Lydon. He's the principal of the Street Plans Collaborative out of Brooklyn, New York. Let's give him a buzz.
Hello.
Mike, Gene at Sidewalk Radio.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm amazing. How's Brooklyn today?
Great. Brooklyn is a little humid, but it's good otherwise.
Well, you're going to be coming down to Atlanta, aren't you?
Yes, I'm coming down next week, right around the corner.
Well, we're going to be happy you're here. I know who you are. We've had the pleasure of getting to hang out on a panel discussion for Living Walls Conference in 2012, but let's tell the listeners who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Mike Lydon. I'm the principal of the Street Plans Collaborative. We're an urban planning, design, and what we call a research advocacy firm. And I'm based in Brooklyn, New York, and my business partner, Tony Garcia, runs one of our offices in Miami, Florida. And we focus our projects a lot on what we call active transportation, which is related to advancing cities for biking and walking. But we also work on a lot of public space projects, and we integrate what we call tactical urbanism, which is using short-term demonstration projects with the intent that it can help lead to long-term change in all different kinds of communities for all different kinds of projects. And we use tactical urbanism to improve and increase public involvement to bring planning the people as opposed to asking people to come to, meetings at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And we also use it as an early phase implementation tool for the master plans and designs that we create for communities so people can actually experience change, understand it a little bit better, and then hopefully start to become bigger advocates and users of their neighborhood in a different way.
So give us an example that someone might see in their neighborhood of exactly what you're talking about, and then I want to get to your tactical urbanism handbook.
Sure. Well, a good example might be that you may feel that an intersection in your neighborhood is unsafe, and that could be for a few reasons. And what we try to do is to take that change and make it that's a desire to make it happen quickly. So that might be making the radius around a curb a little bit tighter so that cars don't speed around corners. That could be adding crosswalks. It could be adding bike lanes. It could be adding safety signage. Things that can actually be done very, very easily and very quickly, but oftentimes take months, if not years, to get done through other channels of implementation. And so we find that when we use projects or tools like that, it can create a lot of local demand as people see what's possible and help lead to change more quickly.
And do municipalities get upset with you all for doing this?
It depends. I mean, most of the projects that we work on, actually, municipalities or other nonprofit organizations are, and even developers, actually, are hiring us to do it. So it's largely sanctioned, and they know it's coming to a degree. We worked out the particulars ahead of time. But, many practitioners of tactical urbanism from the unsanctioned side of the spectrum do go forward without formal permission. And it's amazing to see how the reaction of a city can go one of two ways. One, they can be very, very upset, and they can threaten arrest and try to crack down on activity like this, even though it's very well and civically intentioned. Or what we more often see is that there's a little bit of consternation on that on behalf of a city, but then they realize the intent behind the project. They realize that it's very easy to make some of these very small-scale changes. And in fact, we've seen many communities and some that we've worked with take these ideas and scale them up citywide so that the benefits can be spread to other places around the city. And that's the kind of response that we champion and the kind of response that we love, because it allows citizens to be leaders, or organizations and developers to be leaders on change. And it's the city that has the resources and the ability to help scale it and spread that elsewhere. And so we find that to be a really great partnership, and we work with cities who want to enable citizens to take part in this kind of activity, which I think is a new way of looking at planning and urban design and implementing sustainable streets and neighborhoods.
So it sounds to me like it's as much outreach to and from the actual neighborhoods and communities as it is to the local government. And I'm guessing, and this might be a good segue, that your Tactical Urbanism Handbook's been a nice source for both credibility and information resource. Is that pretty much right?
Yeah, I think the handbook that you speak of, we've released a few different versions of it. It's available online for free. And much to our surprise, after we started to release those handbooks in 2011 and 2012 and the third one in 2013, the response has been tremendous. And people have really gravitated towards these ideas. So I think it's whether you're working at the city level or county level, or you're just a citizen or you're a developer or nonprofit, people are just really tired of how long it takes to get things done. And the projects that get done tactically, as we say, tend to be quite creative, oftentimes with public art components, are projects that are delivered in a way that people understand them almost immediately, and they're simple, and that's the whole point.
And they're fun.
Because it's how much more fun is it to go out with neighbors and friends and meet a whole bunch of people and do a project than it is to just go to meetings alone during the evenings after work? You know, I mean, we find that this is just a more engaging tool, and has led to great results. And so that's what we're excited about, and that's what we find other people to be excited about as well.
Yeah, and so, you know, that brings up the visit to Atlanta and specifically to the Martin Luther King Historic District and Sweet Auburn, and you're going to be putting on this Living Beyond Expectations. And part of that, the experience of fun that you're talking about, are outdoor cafes and live music and history and pop-up stores and all kinds of fun stuff. Give us kind of the broad strokes picture of why you're doing that, and then maybe some of the particulars on what you're hoping to see from it and what the neighbors are hoping to realize.
Sure. So back in February, we were contracted by the Atlanta Regional Commission, which is effectively, if you will know, they effectively serve as the metropolitan planning organization for the Atlanta region. So it's a big organization. And for the last 5 years or so, they've had a program called Lifelong Communities. And that has been a program focusing in on how communities can be designed and managed and built to engender many options for people young and old, and particularly with a focus on the aging population, of which Atlanta has a growing population of people who are 55 and older. So the whole point is that we don't want to design and build communities moving forward that focus exclusively on, say, one mode of transportation like driving, or with, recreation opportunities, shopping opportunities, social opportunities that are spread out and also require a car. This is about creating, more compact places with a whole range of options, places to get local food, places to walk, places to bike, public space to meet neighbors. And it's really kind of an innovative program that the ARC has pioneered, I think, nationally. And so this event, which is called the Living Beyond Expectations Demonstration Project, is only occurring on Auburn Avenue between Fort Street and Jackson Street. So yes, right by the King Historic Center, and of course near Ebenezer Baptist. And we're working with a really wide range of people in the Atlanta community. And that's both people very locally in the neighborhood, as well as from across the city and the region. And the whole point is to demonstrate all sorts of different potential changes, both programming and physical changes, to make the environment more comfortable, more engaging, more appealing to people young and old, a safer place for the long term. And in particular, there are three vacant lots in this project site area on Auburn Avenue that will become the real project hubs. And there will be different elements up and down the street, but those will be the three core areas. And if you guys know the neighborhood, one of those areas is a vacant Church's Chicken lot. And so it's largely a small little building surrounded by parking. There'll be a whole range of activities, including food trucks and gardening demonstrations and a pop-up health center, as well as the return of the Auburn Research Library. And some may know the history of that library, which was a Carnegie library that was that specializes in African-American culture and history. And that building was at one point demolished and eventually replaced by this church's chicken fast food building, which is now vacant. Well, those folks who are the friends of the Auburn Research Library are coming back to this site to have a pop-up library, so to speak. So,
are you working with Carrie Cotton Williams over there, the archivist?
No, I've been working with someone named Harriet Macklin, who I think is one of their volunteers who leads a lot of their outreach.
Well, that's cool. I'll tell you, you know, the thing that I love about all that you're doing is that you're just doing it, you know, and sometimes that's what it takes. It takes people to do it. You know, let's stop talking and let's get moving. And if you can do that and pair it up with something that builds community and adds activity to the street and shows promise for the future while having fun, I mean, my God.
It should be a good time. And I think, again, because this neighborhood has so much incredible history, we're trying to draw off of and promote as many of the assets that are there as possible. And, you know, we're lucky in that way. I think that's partially why ARC wanted to select this neighborhood, was because it has good bones, so to speak, both physically as a walkable neighborhood, but also, you know, culturally and historically. We think the project will resonate with a wide range of people across Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, so it will be a lot of fun.
You know, Mike, like I said, you know, we've been on panel discussion together and we've talked, and there's no doubt that you're a very bright, very charismatic guy, and you all have been successful, and a lot of people know about you and your organization. So my question is, with what I'm sure is a lot of requests for proposals, why you chose to come to Atlanta and to this particular event?
Well, I think the project, again, has just so much interesting aspects to it. And in fact, I was aware of the Lifelong Communities focus with ARC, because when they kicked off that approach to regional growth and neighborhood design, I was working for another firm at the time, but worked on the original planning efforts that was associated with it. So there was a charrette that looked at five different sort of prototypical sites around the Atlanta region, and our firm and the team of, you know, lots of people came into Atlanta for, you know, almost 2 weeks and came up with concepts for those different kinds of areas. So that intrigued me, you know, at that point. You know, I was quite young in my career still, and really hadn't thought too much as a young person about aging in place and how neighborhood design has to take into account, you know, older populations of people and what they're looking for, what makes it comfortable to move about, social options, et cetera. So seeing this come back 5 years later and asking for this demonstration approach was really in our wheelhouse. And again, we've learned a ton by working on the project. And, you know, one of the things we've learned, I think, most is that there's so many exciting things happening in Atlanta right now on all sorts of different levels. I just see the core of the city really reawakening with all sorts of different ideas and projects and organizations. And again, you know, people know each other in Atlanta. They're collaborating, they're supporting each other. You know, the number of people who've been more than willing to contribute to this effort, just based on the good nature of their heart and wanting to be involved with it, has been very impressive, and that's been great to see.
Well, something that you were talking about really resonated. And a couple of summers ago on Sidewalk Radio, we did a show called Passion for Porches, and it was great, and it's all about the life on the porch and the Southern tradition. And as we continue in Atlanta as a city, and in other metropolis around this country tend to gravitate toward the urban core, you're going to have more and more people living in high-rise apartments, and those don't have porches. And, you know, in the past, if you got older, you could sit on your porch and you could see the neighbors, and you could, you know, you could talk to, you know, the kids as they rode their bikes by, or just you can watch life. And when you're living in, you know, on the 10th floor of an apartment building, especially as you get older, without the mobility you once had, there needs to be things like what you all are doing.
Yeah, it's very true, Gene. In fact, in the project area where we're working, there is Wheat Street Towers, which is exactly what you just described. It's a senior housing project development, and it's, 14 stories? And so what we're trying to do with that group of people is give them a variety of activities and things to do on the ground plane so they can have a reason and an easy opportunity to interact with the project elements, or also just with each other and with the neighborhood in front of the building there, just make it as easy as possible. And so I think thinking through those different programming elements and what's going to bring people outside and together is really, really important for social reasons, health reasons, et cetera. So that's, again, an important focus of this project. And ARC in particular is working with the folks who live there to source stories, have conversations with people who live there who've lived in the neighborhood or in the Atlanta region for a very long time, and let them have an opportunity to educate a lot of us about what the neighborhood was, historically, where there's a lot of lessons to be learned. I mean, this is a neighborhood that, 60 years ago was probably one of the more dynamic places in all of Atlanta, if not the whole United States, in terms of urban environment.
Yeah.
And so bringing those stories back, those lessons back out and daylighting them, and educating a new population of people who are once again interested in living in places like Sweet Auburn, I think is really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, and professionally with my career in commercial real estate, it's particularly thrilling to see our primary focus is on placemaking, and what better place to be a part of the story of revitalization than the birthplace of the civil rights. I think it's super cool. I do have kind of a funny question. One of the sponsors of this event is Cliff Bar, and I think that that's great and cool. How did this, how did this company go from basically mountain climbing to tactical urbanism?
I will tell you that the wedge between tactical urbanism and mountain climbing and outdoor activities like that is bicycling. So some people in Atlanta are probably aware that People for Bikes, which is a national organization that promotes what they call green lanes, or very low stress, physically protected, comfortable bike lanes and bike trails, is working with Atlanta for the next 2 years on how the city can build more of those kinds of facilities. And so when we were looking for different project elements, we thought, wouldn't it be great to have a really safe bike lane on Auburn Avenue? And, one's been striped in very recently as a streetcar has been developed, but we're going to try and take that to the next level for the next, for the 2 days of our project, and demonstrate what can that look like when it's truly built for people of all ages and not just people who are already, willing and interested in cycling. And so Cliff Bar has a strong partnership with People for Bikes. Mm. And so People for Bikes realized what we were doing, that it was really entirely consistent with what they were intending to do in a more permanent fashion over the next several years, that they could really work with us to show a lot of people in Atlanta on this day, and when we hope thousands of people come out, to really experience, what does a green lane, what does a protected bike lane look like, how does it operate, how comfortable can it be? And they've just been tremendous partners, and we're really, really thankful that both Cliff Bar and People for Bikes has been so willing to partner with us on a really creative, really out-of-the-box kind of project.
Cool.
So for any of your listeners, come on out and bring your bike and check out what this thing is all about.
Yeah, so quickly, tell everyone, what they can do to participate and get engaged.
So on Friday the 20th, we have what's called Community Build Day. And that's when all sorts of things are going to be happening. It's going to be chaos, but in a very planned way. There will be, big and lot cleanups. There will be construction projects making, tables and chairs out of shipping pallets. We'll be, adding different design elements to the street. We'll be painting planters and putting in plants and landscaping along this bikeway. We'll be, setting up the different pop-up elements, working with the different pop-up stores, which are now on Auburn Avenue, as I understand it, 13 different pop-ups just opened, pop-up retail stores just opened last week. And so there's all those different elements to come and check out. And so
I recommend, by the way, the Sock Fancy folks. I bought my wife a pretty nifty little pair of bacon and eggs socks because we've got a baby on the way, so that was fun. Go check them out.
That's fantastic. So the volunteer day, we're structuring in a couple different ways. There's a way to volunteer both on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and kind of a management role and helping us direct people and help us manage the entire event. But you can also sign up to do a lot of these little projects, and we've structured them like classes. So we want to build capacity with the folks who volunteer insofar that they could go and replicate more of these projects in their own neighborhood or across the region. So you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Sweet Auburn Living Beyond Expectations. And if you Google that, you'll find the page. We're continually updating ways to get involved, the programming elements and all this. So we would love to hear from more people and get more people signed up for those activities.
Cool, man. Well, keep up the great work and all that you and you all are doing, and we're looking forward to having you here in Atlanta.
Great. Appreciate it, Gene.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk soon.
Take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.